Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Welcome back, everybody, to Exploring the Epstein Files here on... Wait a minute.
We need to get that X-Files music up. The truth is out there.
Okay.
We're just not going to get
it. Welcome back. No, the name of this show is actually Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Tim Wildman here with Ed Battagliano and Steve. Skip the Paisley Jordal today.
I still have Paisley. Steve
Paisley Jordal. Yes. Rocking the, what was that? What's that pattern you got on today, Steve?
I don't know, but it's giving me a headache.
It's the Ed gets a headache pattern.
Okay. It's a nice looking shirt.
Tiny checks.
It's a pattern. Log on to stream.afa.net.
And you can see for yourself
you can see what I'm wearing.
What Steve's wearing. All right, Steve, what do you got?
Do you want to go back and take a listen to what Donald Trump
you
said?
You bet I do.
All right.
Absolutely.
I know you were just talking about this in the last half hour. Donald Trump was in the Oval Office with the NATO Secretary General, and they were talking about Russia, Ukraine, and Donald Trump is not very happy with Russia, he said. And, let's listen to it in his words, cut 17.
And one of the reasons that you're here today is to hear that we are very unhappy, I am, with Russia. But we'll discuss that maybe a different day. But we're very, very unhappy with them, and we're going to be doing very severe tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days. Tariffs at about 100%. You'd call them secondary tariffs. You know what that means.
No, I don't.
But today we're going to talk about something else, and as you know, we've spent $350 billion approximately on this war with Russia and Ukraine, and would like to see it end. It wasn't my war, it was Biden's war. It's not my war, I'm trying to get you out of it. And we want to see it end. And I'm disappointed in President Putin because I thought we would have had a deal 2 months ago, but it doesn't seem to get there. So based on that, we're going to be doing secondary tariffs if we don't have a deal in 50 days. It's very simple.
Vlad, you have 50 days.
I don't know. We discussed before the break. I don't know what the point of 50 days is. But listen, Putin is playing for keeps. I think he wants all of Ukraine to make Ukraine a part of Russia. And then it becomes a buffer. I guess for preventing an invasion sometime in the future.
If I could advise Mr. President,
I'm sure he's listening.
President Trump, if I could advise him, just don't talk about Ukraine, Russia no more. No more. Is that correct English or is that bad English?
Anymore.
Yeah, but in common man talk, everybody understands.
I knew what you meant.
No more.
Don't
right?
talk about it no more.
Don't talk about it no more. I would just say don't talk about it anymore. Yeah. Can you do that? As President of the United States?
Well, not if you're going to have the Secretary General of NATO in the Oval Office.
I would just say, what? What are you talking about? There's a war in Ukraine? Okay. Go on and talk about it then. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about the more President Trump talks about it, the worse he looks. Is that a fair assessment saying 50 days, you got 50 days to bomb Kyiv, or either we're going to put a tariff on you that you won't even feel.
Yeah, you're saying he looks impotent in stopping a war that he said he would stop in 24 hours.
Yes, there's nothing he can do to stop it other than getting involved directly and beating back the Russian army.
Which is why there are plenty of people within the MAGA movement who are saying it's not our war. NATO's
right,
not involved.
Right. So stop talking about it.
Stop talking about it and stay out of it.
Right, right. That's what I would say. Stop talking about it and stay out of it.
I didn't realize we'd spent that much money. $350 billion?
You can't ever tell.
You know, you're getting to the point where...
Where did you get that number from?
Well, that's probably direct aid under the Biden administration.
Okay.
I'm sure there's...
All right. Well, anyway, so we'll That's the president. The big news is President Trump is meeting with the UN's NATO Secretary General, telling him how we're going to help Ukraine.
The purpose of the meeting, he says that when you heard him say in that clip that they're going to talk about something else. There's other items on the agenda in that office, but he was asked by the press about it. Right. If I could just button this thing up.
No, you go ahead.
There is not a single thing that the president has done since he's been in office his second term that hasn't worked spectacularly. Not one. The tariffs that everybody thought were going to blow up the economy hasn't blown up, and a lot of economists are saying they're going to add trillions to.
Already adding billions of dollars in revenue.
Right. And a lot of things that people said, that's a dumb move. Don't do that. It either meant nothing or it's been successful. So I'm going to, as long as the jury's out, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that it might seem like it's rendering him impotent or that making him less incredible. And the end of the day, if I just, until he fails, I'm going to just assume that he's got something up his sleeve that we don't know about.
Well, that's one perspective. I think Putin's a realist. He knows he's banking on the fact that NATO is not going to get physically, their military is not going to get directly involved against Russian troops. The United States isn't going to start sending over hundreds of thousands of troops to Europe.
Yeah.
You know, with the possibility of U.S. and Russian troops getting into a hot war.
Yeah.
So Putin is banking on he's like you said, Tim, he's going to go, okay, do your tariffs. Russian people have already suffered. We're taking Ukraine, and it doesn't look like anyone's going to stop me. Ukraine can't stop us. Ukraine can't at least push us.
They're putting up pretty good resistance, though.
They are. But eventually, Russia's banking
on the fact. Eventually, tanks are going to roll into Kyiv.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. And there is nothing happening on the other side of the line that Putin considers a threat. And if the United States started sending troops over to Europe,
yeah,
then Putin might come to the bargaining table. But we're not. We're not sending troops over to Europe.
Nor are we going to.
Nor does anybody want to send troops over to Europe. And so Putin's not going to stop.
Next story, Steve.
All right. Attorney General Pam Bondi has abruptly, according to Fox, fired at least three federal prosecutors involved in the January 6th prosecutions. A lot of papers, a lot of press is reporting 20 people of the Justice Department have been let go. And, of course, they're labeling it as vindictive, as Trump going after his enemies.
Trump?
Yeah, I know.
Vindictive?
But
Where are you getting this from?
There has been.
And Bondi is being vindictive?
No, Trump is. Bondi just does.
Hey, don't get me wrong. I'm all for the vindictiveness.
Yeah.
Because the Justice Department and the FBI needed a good house cleaning. They needed a good house cleaning. So call it what you want to.
That's the discrepancy, I think, between the 20 you're hearing for the liberal media that, you know, and the three that Fox is reporting. There was a lot of people will argue that all of the January 6th prosecutions were malicious. Trespassing, there's video of the Capitol Police opening the doors and inviting the protesters in. Compared with the insurrection we're seeing in places like Los Angeles and that we saw like during the BLM riots and everything, walking in the Capitol with some flags is nothing. Not that it was good, but it's trespassing. It's not I'm in jail for 6 years in a dungeon. Bad. So, well, it's not been.
How do we switch over to January 6th?
Because
different story. You said next story.
You said next story.
Related to the firing of the prosecutors.
The prosecutors are being fired. They're January 6th prosecutors.
I got you. Okay. Well, you know what? Did you know that every president has the right to fire all the U.S. attorneys?
Yes.
Across America and replace them with who he wants to. Did you know this?
So well, who did that? One of the presidents did that with Obama.
Obama did that to the Bush, all the Bush judges.
I mean, you have the authority to do that.
In fact, Pam, you
call it vindictive if you want to. She said, "We got three prosecutors who were going after people on J6, January 6th that were too, I guess you would say, were politically motivated, and I'm firing them. And that's within her right to do so. So good for her. Pam Bondi. You think she'll survive, though, this Epstein episode?
Are you asking me? I think she should survive. I think she's doing a lot of good stuff. I think she made...
She's doing a lot of great stuff.
A lot of great stuff. She made a mistake saying that she had the Epstein list on her desk. I say she made a mistake. She shouldn't have been talking about that at all. She should have said, I have the files, Epstein files, JFK, MLK, have those on my desk. We'll be going through them, and we will do our due diligence. But she said, we have the Epstein list, which has, as we all know, created this firestorm. I would tend to give her, cut her some slack. But the Trump administration, whether it's Bondi or Cash Patel, the president, whatever, they need to come out and clarify this and tell the
president
truth.
President Trump is standing behind her, by the
way.
He is standing behind her as his attorney general, despite the criticisms by people that she should release the, quote, Epstein files, if that's what you want to call them. Let me ask you this question, and you guys can both answer it. And I think most people probably know the answer, but I'll have you articulate it anyway. Okay, why does this matter to a lot of people, whether or not names are released to the public from the Epstein files?
Well, I'll tell you.
Why does that matter?
It matters to me. I'm going
to
tell you I'm going to tell you my two reasons.
Do you get emotional about it?
No.
Okay, because I don't want to upset you.
No, I don't want to cry on national radio.
That's what I'm saying. That's not a good look.
No, it's not.
So go ahead.
Here are my two reasons why. Now, I'm not saying it's number one. Okay, I don't know where it comes on my list of top 10, but this is important for these two reasons. First of all, trafficking young women is horrific, and that should never get a pass, or it should not get swept under the rug. And number two, I think it's abominable if you have all these elitists who have, if there are elitists who have participated in sex trafficking on Epstein's island or any of his parties, and they're going to get away with it, if they are going to get away with it, without any kind of prosecution, because that's not the way the law works for the rest of the people in this country. And I think those are two reasons why MAG is not going to let this go, is that sex trafficking is horrifying for most Americans, especially if you're in MAGA. And number two, you don't let the elitists get away with stuff that everyone else has to pay for. That's
Steve.
My
I
opinion.
Would amend Ed's very good answer just slightly in that for MAGA, they are upset at the general thought of sex trafficking, but they have seen Democrats get away with murder. Well, maybe murder, but everything under the sun. And Republicans it's the double standard, and they think that list is going to have a raft of Democrat luminaries and maybe politicians and important people that will finally get what's coming to them. This is in MAGA's thoughts.
Right.
It's a little bit both. It's a little bit, it's gross, and someone needs to pay for what they did to those kids. But secondly, it is the retribution thing. The sheriff is in town, and for
years, the sheriff says it doesn't matter.
The sheriff does says it doesn't matter. I know, but MAGA says there's a new sheriff in town, and we want finally the wrong to be made right. That's what they're
They believe that they were promised that.
Yeah,
were they?
That if you're going to drain the swamp, okay, then swamp creatures have to pay if they've broken the law. Now, listen, I'm going to tell you, I don't know if there's an Epstein list. Alan Dershowitz says there is. Others have
a purported
said,
list was published back in 2018, I believe, too. It's a purported black
book. So why did President Trump want it released?
If there is one, my guess is that there were a lot of illegal things that happened at these parties, but probably the majority of people who were on the island or at these parties in New York or whatever that either didn't know or weren't participating, and you can't just throw out a list of people who were at the party and imply
right.
that they're all guilty of sex trafficking.
Right.
And that's why the Bush administration and the Obama administration and the first Trump administration and the Biden administration, all of them have basically seemed to turn a blind eye or at least have refused to release anything. I think that's probably likely, but there may be, you know, the conspiracy theories about this being a CIA / Mossad blackmail plot. Maybe that's true. I don't know.
Go ahead, Steve.
I think the reason that President Trump promised it was because during the Otto Penn administration, there was so much stuff going on at the Justice Department and just for transparency's sake, because he wanted to be transparent. He was pledging transparency, and this was that, the JFK files, the
okay, but I don't remember, excuse me for not remembering, but did President Trump himself make a commitment to release these files to the public or not?
I know he was very strong on transparency, and maybe that the MAGA assumed that that was part of it. I'll look it up. I'm not sure.
Okay, I don't know. Well, listen, what if he said something like this, Ed? What if President Trump said something like this? Listen, there's a file on Jeffrey Epstein, yes, but he's dead. And furthermore, a lot of the names in there in the files, hear me out before
yeah,
you
right.
start smirking. I know you're not going to. like he's going to. And just say, if we were to release those files to the public, the innuendo they would be people think that because somebody went to a party and their name's in there that they're pedophiles.
Right.
It would ruin a lot of people's lives potentially, and I'm not willing to do that. So the people who were responsible for this were incriminated. Jeffrey Epstein's dead. His top lieutenant is in jail.
Maxwell.
And I'm just going to leave it at that.
Then say that.
What would be wrong with saying that?
There'd be nothing wrong with saying that. But I think they need to come completely clean. They need to say, they need to answer the questions. Were there video cameras on Epstein Island? Do you know who participated in the trafficking? I don't want to get any more,
I know.
Clear than that. And are those people going to be prosecuted? Those kinds of questions need to be answered. Were people blackmailed?
But President Trump is acting like, what are you guys still talking about Jeffrey
yes.
Epstein for?
That's not a good look. No one's letting go of this until they find out the truth. And I'm not sure we'll ever find out the truth.
All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim,
what were you going to say? According to is it Grok? Is that Google's AI assistant that President Trump did?
He was a tight end for the New England Patriots.
He was.
He was a very good one, Grok was. So now he's doing AI?
He's doing AI now.
Wow. Yeah. Didn't know.
Yeah. I've heard that guy talk. I've heard Grok talk.
What about a Burstow guy? He's also doing AA, USAA
commercials.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
According to Google AI, Donald Trump did repeatedly suggest he would release the Epstein files, including the purported client list, during his presidential campaign. Bondi also fueled speculations that there was such a list. Grok has been known to be wrong about everything except being a receiver in AARP or USAA or whatever.
USAA.
So, but that's
it's him and that Sam Elliott. Is that his name?
Yeah. Yeah.
The guy who's in the guy's in half the cowboy movies now.
Yeah.
In the last 50, 40 years, Sam Elliott. Go ahead. It's next story.
All right. There's an interesting gathering going on this afternoon at the White House. President Trump will recognize CEOs and business leaders who donate their time to faith-based charities and encourage them to continue investing. This is being hosted by the White House Faith Office. The president is scheduled to attend. Also attending will be founders of Hobby Lobby's David Green, Jockey International's Deborah Waller, Quest Events' Leo Dunlap, Albert Huddleston of Atheon Energy, Shopping Material Handling founder Jimmy Shoppa, others. These are CEOs that have been donated to faith-based causes, and several secretaries of state secretaries in the cabinet will be at this event. It is the first of its kind. President making faith-based issues a big part of his presidency.
These are things that President Trump does really, really well in terms of appealing to his base. And it's a good thing to have these faith leaders at the White House. I like this.
The office, the faith-based office in the White House is different than they've had faith-based offices since I think Obama, maybe Bush. I mean, yeah, Bush even had people that helped with faith-based and community services and such. But this is the Donald Trump is the first president to actually put that office in the West Wing.
That's true.
It's feet from the Oval Office. And he's put a lot of energy and priority into faith-based issues. And his faith advisors, you know, our friend Robert Jeffress and Sammy Rodriguez and Gary Bauer, they're all frequent guests in the Oval Office praying for the president. He very much covets their counsel.
You know, I looked this up within the last week or two, how many people in the United States claim to be Christians. Now, obviously, that can vary in terms of whether people are truly Christian.
Born a Christian?
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But 260 million people in our country identify as being a part of the Christian faith community. That's a lot of people, okay? I'm not saying all of them are, you know, evangelicals or what have you, but that's a lot of people. And so it is smart for a president from either political party to take faith of those Americans seriously.
Amen.
Yep.
I agree. Hey, Steve, can you give me I've been waiting on this, a Rosie O'Donnell update. I wonder, where in the world is Rosie O'Donnell and what's happening?
Rosie O'Donnell went to Ireland.
She went to Ireland.
She was going to Ireland because she just couldn't exist in a land where Donald Trump was president.
I
totally did. She was going to be joined maybe by hosts of The View. I don't know. But she went to Ireland and turns out...
Has she been on President Trump's mind?
She has been. Actually, she's been on...
How so, Steve?
President Trump has been trolling her. I think there's been a little bit of a... dispute going on between the two. She's never been a big Trump fan. He's never been a big Rosie O'Donnell fan.
They hate each other.
He calls her Big Rosie.
Yeah.
So I think that's fair to say.
Yeah. So I think she's thinking of coming back anyway. Also, Ellen DeGeneres, shock, is taking Rosie O'Donnell's side on this.
No, well, what sparked
that? The lesbian fan.
President Trump went on Truth Social, which is like X, to say that he's thinking about revoking her citizenship.
That's right. That's right.
He's going to strip her of her citizenship, he said.
I don't think he can do that. Huh? I don't think he can do that, can he? Can you just?
I don't think so.
I don't think.
You'd have to have some kind of a crimp. Well, even then, if you.
Listen, I'm just going to say, if I were Donald Trump, I'm not. He is as unique as they come.
Unicorn.
There's no stopping him from trolling Rosie O'Donnell, but she is a D-list actress, maybe E, F, G. I don't know how far down the list she is. If I was advising, I'd say, President Trump, this is slumming. You're the president. You're the most powerful man in the free world, and probably the most powerful man in the world.
Right.
The leader of the free world. Don't get into a contest.
Be careful.
Yeah, I'm trying a contest with Rosie O'Donnell because you're going to come out stinking too.
Gronk says that the president cannot do that.
Yeah, I didn't think he could. But he's trolling. He's trolling. All right, thank you, Steve.
My pleasure.
Thanks to Ed and Fred and Brent Creeley, our producer. We had no guests today. We did this all on our own.
We were guest-free.
Quite an accomplishment, an hour and a half with no guest.
That's right. Shows you the brain power within this studio.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, see you tomorrow, everybody. Have a great day. Keep listening to AFR.